Okay, it's good to be back. We are four lines from the bottom with the words of V'chein le'inyan tuma. So the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah, which said V'chein le'inyan tuma. And also with regards to tuma, the Mishnah had stated on Memhei Amud Aleph on yesterday's daf that we said that Batzek shebistika reva mishkazayis makom echad chayav revar, which we discussed at length on yesterday's daf, that if you have the dough that cracks in the kneading trough, that if there's enough of a kizayis and you have to get rid of it, v'im lav batal miyuto. Then the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, v'chein le'inyan tuma, and likewise with regards to tuma, im makbar lav chotis, if someone cares about it being there, then it's going to create a chatzitz, it's going to have a barrier for, we're going to see what? V'im rotza b'kiyumo, then if he was one at the reu kariva, that's going to be part of the trough rather than something as a chatzitz, it would not be a chatzitza. So that is what the Mishnah said. So the Gemara says over here, so what does it mean, v'chein le'inyan tuma, imak b'dalav chotzitz, that if one doesn't want it there, it's going to create a chatzitz, it's going to have this barrier with regards to tevila, v'im rotze b'kiyuma, but if he wants it to be there, doesn't care if it's there, then it's like the trough itself. So the Gemara asks, mi dami, but is this comparable to the first part of the Mishnah? The Mishnah with regards to chametz and tuma, it shouldn't be hasam b'shi'uriya talmilsa. With regards to chametz, the halacha is dependent on whether the dough is going to be nullified, depends on the shear of the dough. That's what we mentioned on yesterday's daf, whether kazayas or smaller, as we mentioned. However, halacha b'kpeda talmilsa, or as over here, with regards to tuma, the whole shaila over here is whether or not a guy cares about it being there. If the guy cares about it there, then it's going to be a problem. If it's not, it's not a problem. And how can the Mishnah say v'chein l'inyan tuma? The whole factor of why it's tameh or not tameh or chatzitz or not chatzitz is totally different than the first part of the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to suggest four suggestions. Amar Yehuda, emo l'inyan hatuma enokin. So it should say, the Mishnah should say enachanami that with regards to tuma, it's not so. It's not so. So that's the shaila in general. When we have like these emas that we're trying to fix the Mishnah, is he meaning to fix the text of the Mishnah, use like a girsa change? Or is he doing something else? Over here, l'chora, maybe he wasn't actually trying to fix the text of the Mishnah, rather just say that it means that we're saying, and with regards to v'chein le'inyan tuma, there's going to be no chilek, that something's going to be different with regards to the chilek is going to be v'chein le'inyan tuma, that there is a chilek, and the chilek is different than regards to chametz. Maybe you don't have to amend the Mishnah to say that way, because usually we use other lashonos to amend the Mishnah, like chasur, mechzer, v'achiktani, things like that. Here we don't seem to say that, we're just saying to which Abaye then says it doesn't make sense to explain it like that. Abaye, that wouldn't be what the Mishnah's concise lashon would be telling us. At the end of the day, the Mishnah uses the lashon that likewise with regards to tuma, seemingly that there should be the same din, and this is not comparable din at all according to you, Rav Yehuda. So therefore, Abaye gives a different explanation of how to explain the Mishnah. Elamar Abaye says the following. Hachikamar, this is what the Mishnah means. V'chein le'inyan tziruv tuma v'pesach, with regards to combining tuma for pesach, as we mentioned before, that food has regards is going to become tameh when it is a kabeitza, it can transfer tuma. That's actually a big shaila. We said that also. It's a big machlokas Rashi Tosfos. I'm also with regards to when we say that there's a minimum shear of a kibitza, is that only to transfer tuma? Can any amount of food become tameh? And only with regards to transferring food in a kibitza, or can that's the shita of Rashi. However, Tosfos holds that both the minimum shear for beitza to become tame and to transmit tuma is also with regards to kibitza. And so over here would be a difference of how to explain the Gemara. But let's just talk about lenient shear of tuma. Let's just go with Rashi's explanation that with regards to combining with regards to tuma, that it can't become tame less than a kizayis, and it can't transmit the tuma either. So that's what's going on over here. So Abaye is explaining that our Mishnah is telling us which case the dough stuck to the trough is going to combine with other foods to have the minimum share of a kibitza. That's what's going on according to Abaye. Uvishari Mosashona Ika Plukta. And then during the rest of the year, there's going to be a different nafkamina. So meaning the Hemshech of the Mishnah. So what does that mean? What's the Hemshech of the Mishnah then according to Abaye? Hechi Dami. So what's the case of combining tuma? Kegon De'ika Pachos Mikabetza Ochen. It's the case where there's less than a shear of the egg's amount of food, vinagu b'hai batzek, and they touch the dough that is stuck to the kneading trough. While the food and the dough were touching tuma, that it came into contact with the food, making it tameh, then they had additional tower food which came into contact. So then, what's the difference? So says the Gemara, says Abaye, b'shari mos shana. So during the rest of the year, divik peda talia milsa, when it depends just on whether or not the owner is objecting to having it there, so then, at the end of the day, according to Abaye, because of the fact that the dough is significant. It's not going to be part of the truff. Therefore, it's going to be combined with to make a kibetza. And then additional tara food is going to create the kibetza with a tame food. That's what, according to Abaye's understanding. However, when it comes to Shari Shana, when it comes to the kibetza talia milsa, when it comes to only whether or not the owner of the dough wants it to be there, then if he objects it to being there, then it's not going to be part of the truff. Then it's going to be something else. It's going to be defined as food, and therefore it's going to combine with other food to be a minimum share of a kibitza. However, if he wants it to be there, then it's going to be treated as part of the truff itself. And even if it's a kazayas or bigger, it's not going to combine with other food. And therefore, the Mishnah meant v'chein la'inyan tuma, that when it comes to combining tuma, then it's going to depend during Pesach or during the rest of the year. During Pesach, then it's going to be whether the dough is a kazayis. However, during the rest of the year, then it's going to be about hakpada. If he's makbin alav, then it's going to be a chatzitza. However, if he wants it there, then it's going to be part as of the areva. That's how you explain the Gemara lafi Abaye. So now, Rav Maskif Rav. Rav has a kasha on this. Rav Yashiv just points out that we're going to see this sheet of Rav and then also Rav Papa. They're not disagreeing halacha lemaisa. Everyone agrees to the Mishnah's chilek halacha lemaisa just in the diukim of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah, how are they best explained, is the Shaila over here. Even Rav Papa, we're going to see, is going to mention that it's really a different case. He agrees halacha l'maisa on what's going on to the halacha that Abaye had mentioned. Everyone agrees that that's the halacha of Abaye, and that's the way to explain halacha l'maisa. Just what is the diuk, what's the proper understanding of our specific Mishnah, is what they have a machlokas about. So now the Gemara says, maskif la Rava. So Rava has a question. Mi katani matzarf. Does the Mishnah use a lashon of combining? V'hachotzitz katani. The Mishnah doesn't use a lashon of combining. It's a chatzita. It tells seemingly a completely different halacha over here. The Mishnah is dealing with nothing to do with what is going to be mitzarif to create a shear, what combines to make a shear for tumah. It sounds like it's a chatzitza issue. So therefore, says Rava Elamar Rava. Rava says that here's what the Mishnah is saying: v'chein lahalos tahara la reva. And likewise, with regards to bringing tara to the trough, hey chidami, what's going to be the case? Kegon de itame hach areva. In the case where the trough, which had dough, which was stuck to it, it became tame. Ubay let bule. So when do we always have the case of, when is a chatzitza always a shaila? When you're dipping something in the mikvah, whether it's a person or whether it's kalim. There's a concept of a chatzitza, a barrier, something that you don't want there. Usually it's a makbid alav that you don't want it. That is going to be a chatzitza and would invalidate the immersion in the mikvah. So here, we're talking about a case where the dough was it was stuck to the trough and it became tame. Violet Blin wanted to immerse it in the mikvah to make the kli tahor now. So now the Gemara says, "Bip Pesach the isuru chashuv," because during Pesach, when the dough is going to be chashuv, as we mentioned, because why is Pesach it's going to be chashuv? Because you need to get rid of the dough. So chotzeis below sakal tefila. So therefore, it's going to be a chatzita because you don't want it there, and therefore, it's not going to be a valid tefila. However, Bishari Mos Hashanah during the rest of the year, Bikpeta Tal Mos, it's all going to depend on whether the owner cares if it's there or not. If in general, when something is not, we actually are usually sometimes we're makbid in that, but the Ramah, but Lamaisa, with regards to the general rule, everyone's going to agree, Alpidina de Gemara, if someone doesn't care that it's there, let's say the sticker, you could care less if it's on the bottom of the bowl. It doesn't matter at all to you. So then, Bikpeta Tal Mos, then if you don't care about it, most people do. That's why we remove them. That's why we get it off. Even the sticky glues are shiloh away. Afterwards, we try to remove that as well. So that, because then it's going to be totally on a person if he cares about it. Then it's a hakbada. Imak, but alav chotzes. If you care about it, then it's going to create a chatzitza in the mikvah. And if imrotza bikimo, however, if you don't care about it, let's let it be there. You actually want it to be there, then hariyo kareva, then it's going to be part of the kli. It's going to be part of the truff itself. And therefore, it is not going to create any chatzitza, and it would not be invalidate if you tovel it in the mikvah. Now the Gemara quotes another shita now. Maskif Rav Papa. Rav Papa also doesn't like this one. Mik tani v'chein lin tara. Does the Mishnah use this lashon? And likewise, with regards to tara, doesn't it? What's the lashon of the Mishnah? Hala inyan tumak tani. The Mishnah's lashon, it says, with regards to tuma, it says regards to tuma. So according to Rava's explanation, the Mishnah should have said v'chein l'inyan tara, not v'chein l'inyan tuma. It seems to be that we're focusing on the tuma aspect in the Mishnah. So therefore, Rav Papa doesn't like Rava's explanation. As mentioned, l'fi Rav Yashuv, he's not disagreeing halacha l'maisa, just how to explain the Mishnah. Elam Rav Papa, but he does mention the Mishnah is talking about a completely different case, not l'inyan tevila in the mikvah, v'chein l'inyan lahori tuma la'areva. It's talking about causing tuma to go into the trough. That you're going to have tuma in the trough. What does that mean? What's the case? So it says the Gemara, "Kigon to naga sheret b'hai batzik," where the sherets, we're talking about sherets, it's an avatuma. So then, you know, the shmona shvatim in the Torah, those are going to be avatumas, where it got stuck to the trough. If the dough is going to be considered part of the trough, then the sherets is going to be come and tied to the trough itself, making a tuma. If the dough is not considered part of the trough, then it's going to be something that's outside of the kli, and would not necessarily make the kli tuma, right? There's no sheni tuma when it comes to a kli. So the Gemara says, "Bipesach di surochashu." So then when it comes to Pesach, where the dough is going to be chashuv, you have to get rid of it, as you mentioned. So therefore, it's chashuv chotzitz, and it's going to be a chatzitza between the sheretz and the truff, since you don't want it there. And therefore, lo nachsa latuma. Then, if the sheretz touches that part, then it's not going to create the tumah to the kli, because that the dough would become a rishon, and the rishon would not impart a sheni to the kli. A kli can't become sheni. Bishari most hashana, however, during the rest of the year, the vekpeda talia, when the Mishnah talks about if someone cares about it, he doesn't want it there, imak b'lav chotzit, so if I don't want it there, then it's going to create a chatzitza. However, imrotza b'kiyumo, if I do want it there, then if I don't mind it there, harei kariv, then it's going to be part of the truff itself, and then the sheretz touching it would be batal to the truff, and then it would become tame, because it's as if you're touching the actual kli itself, in which case it would become an avatuma, and that is how the Mishnah explains. Let's feed these three shitas. We had Rapapa, we had Rava, and we had Abaye. Actually, Rav Huda as well. We had four shitas explaining how to explain the Mishnah. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. Batzik hachirish. If you have dough, it's literally deaf. What is the deaf over here? So Rashi explains that it doesn't show whether it's chametz. It's not clear if it's chametz or not, and you can't tell. Just like when it comes to the times of the Gemara, chirish, shota, v'katan are always mentioned together. You have chirish as a deaf mute person. A shota is someone who's deranged, whatever, mentally not capable of understanding things, and a katan. Those three people are considered lacking das, and therefore they're not a gadol. Gadol is the other Indian, but therefore their maisim are not going to be chal. There are many different halachas that are applicable to that, right? They can't daven for the almond, etc. Many halachas that apply to that. The reason that a deaf person, we don't really know his das back then. They weren't, now that the post already pointed out that a deaf person now is able to communicate, he's able to talk. Clearly, he has das. However, in the case of the times of the Gemara, when you had a deaf mute person, we weren't sure if he's like mentally incapable. So therefore, that's what Rashi is pointing out, that a deaf person is like, we don't know. Are you able to speak? Do you have das? Do you don't have das? We're always choshesh. That's what Rashi explains, that it's the lashon of a deaf person. Rashi quotes another thing that it's really called like batzik hachiris, that it's really talking about earthenware, that it's hard like, it's like hard like clay cheres. Okay, so that's the two explanations in what is cheres over here. So we're not sure about it. So it says the Mishnah, im yesh bo kiyotze bo sheichmes, if there's another dough which we can compare that looks similar to that type of dough that we're discussing over here, that it needed the same time and it has the characteristics of chametz, which has become chametz, then harez aser, then we can compare it to that case, and that dough, this dough that we're not sure about, lachora, would be the similar halacha, and therefore it would be aser as well. So the Gemara now says, im ein sham kiyotze b'mal, but what if there is no other dough that we can compare it to? Is it going to be mutter or aser on Pesach? So says the Gemara, we can determine from the following. Amar Rabbi Abau, Amar Shem ben Lakish, kidei she'ilich adam imigdal nuna latveria. So this dough is going to be chametz if enough time came to go from Migdal Nunya to Tveria. So how long is that? I don't know what that is. So says the Gemara, that is the shear of a mil. A shear of a mil, a distance of a mil. This is a distance that is left over here. This is an extremely, what I would say, one of the most crucial halachas of what is a mil for so many different halachas. A mil, how long is it? How long does it take to get from Migdal Nuna to Tveria? So this is a big shaila. There's three main shitas. The way the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah Paskin, it's 18 minutes. The Fi, many Rishonim, it's actually 22 and a half minutes. Many Rishonim hold like that. And there's a shita, it seems to be more of a das yach, it does exist out there. Some are actually choshish for this, that it's 24 minutes. Now there are so many different halachas that not just, let's say, the time it takes to have chametz become chametz, which we know that's famous, that's also going to be 18 minutes, where that's because we're choshish for, that's how we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch Ramah is like 18 minutes. That's the shear of a meal, but there are other, like, that's for sure the chumra, we're going to pass 18 minutes. But what about, let's say the Gemara says that there's four, we're going to get to that Gemara himself then. The Gemara says that there's four meal, but there's a shot gear, so we go with that there's four meal from the time it's from Nates till Alos HaShachar. That Alos HaShachar is four meal before Nates HaChama. So how long is a meal? If a meal is 18 minutes, they're going to have 72 minutes. Then Alos HaShachar, there's so many different halachas that we know, right? Alos HaShachar is b'dieved when you could daven if you're stuck, right? It really should be Me'ev Nezerach. Okay, there's so many different halachas that apply, that b'dieved if you do any mitzvah after Alos HaShachar, you can't eat. At Alos HaShachar, people know wake up for a fast. They know that. So when is the time where I can't eat? Is it 72 minutes? Or if it's 22 and a half minutes times four, you're going to get to an hour and a half. Many poskim are choshish for that hour and a half. Again, for derabanan, less so, but for derases, maybe. So let's say if you only shook a lulav after a los of the hour well, that's a bad example because it's chumra. We are going to be machber 72, but other halachas we're going to be machber. We're doing derase apply in the morning to say that for an hour and a half maybe we're choshish. That's already the next day. That it's already a los or shachar. That is a very big shaila. What is a meal? So that's a very, very critical thing that we're telling over here, that how long it has to be Again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's 18 minutes, and that's generally accepted. So then, let's say, Halacha Maisa, most poskim will assume that 72 minutes is the shear. Again, there's a chumra to be chodesh for an hour and a half, but L'maisa, Halacha, when push comes up, they'll tell you that Halos HaShachar is going to be 72 minutes. That's usually the minog, 72 minutes before. And other dinim of a meal, we're going to see other dinim of a meal, which are going to be very important, that also is going to be, we generally assume, is 18 minutes. So the Gemara now says, for name a meal, so now Gemara gets back to this, so from Migdal Milna to Tveria, why don't you just mention that it's a meal? So the Gemara says, "Hakamash Malan." Rav Shimon Malakish teaching you a chiddush: the shiur the meal, committing you not to vary. It's telling you how far is a meal. That there's a distance of a meal also. We know like a parsa is 4 meals, so that's a distance. So how far is a meal is also as a sheer distance, many halachas. So for the sheers of what's going to be a distance, that's also the time that's going to be a meal. That's how far it is. That a meal is going to be, halacha maisa, we assume a meal, I think, is 2,000 amos, which is not that long. Let's say for tefillas aderech, if you assume it's all a sheer in the how long it's going to be, 4 mil is 2,000 amos, that's only going to be 8,000 amos, it's not that far. I forget what it comes out to, what the poskim say, it's less, more than half a mile, or whatever. Everyone goes half a mile outside the city. So some say maybe we're also choshish for that halacha, that maybe it's also a shear of zman, so it's 18 times 4, so it's going to be a 72-minute drive, which is, that already is more, you know, that's more nogea. People would say that, not getting into halachas or tefillas aderech now, but lamaisa, that is, again, this is a critical, important gemara from here, for what is it, how long is a shear of a meal, how far is a shear of a meal, that comes up in all of Shas, so many different halachas that are nogea over here. Now the Gemara continues with more halachas that are also extremely halachal ma'isa. Amar Rabbi Amar Shimon ben Lakish, legaba, with regards to someone who's hired to need something. This is machlokas Rashi and tells us what's going on over here. According to Rashi, we're talking about the guy who's hired to need something. He's hiring it for a customer who gave him the kalim, but the customer's utensils are tameh. So he wants them to be tar. So how far does this person have to go in order to travel to make sure that the dough should be needed in the state of tara, because the guy wants to eat chulin betara. So that's the shaila over here. The tefillah with regards to the davening. So Rashi says over here, davening in a shul. The way the other Rishonim explain, it doesn't mean just davening in a shul. It's not the halacha just to go davening in a shul by yourself. It means davening in a shul with a minyan. That davening with a minyan, and wash the obligation to wash your hands, you know, before eating bread. So then, arba milin. That the chachamim say that the requirement for how far you have to go is 4 mil. So that means that the hired kneader has to travel 4 mil in order to go tovel as kalim, so they don't become tamei. And with regards to tefillah also, that we're going to see that halacha is going to be clarified in a moment, that this is only if it's on your way. If it's on your way, you have to go up to 4 mil. That's very long, so 72 minutes past, let's say I'm traveling from New Jersey down to Florida. So there's a minyan that's on my way down, let's say get to North Carolina. So then at that point there's a minyan, not where I am, but and I'm ready to go to sleep in the hotel over there. But there's a minyan that's 50 minutes away. So that's within 72 minutes. So I have to go drive another 50 minutes to go to that minyan because it's on my way anyway. I plan on getting to Florida eventually anyway. So then the halacha would be that I have to go this full shear of the arba milim. So over here again, the Rav Yoshev points this out. I think the Bishop Brua points this out also. Halacha Maitz, this is how we assume that for this halacha of tefillah, the mil is not determined by the amount of 8,000 amos. So you only have to go half a mile, because then obviously then it's not so nogea, because you know, a lot of times for minyanim you travel 20 minutes, you can get 25 miles if you're going on a highway for most of the time. So that's clearly, that's like 15 times, 25 times the amount of the time of the shear of the, if it's a distance shear. So we're talking about over here that it's a shear not of distance, but rather of time. So that a person would have to go 72 minutes on his way, and we're going to see when it comes to out of your way, you're going to have to go 18 minutes. So that's what Rav Yosher points out. And that would be coming out over here. And he also points out, though, that this halacha never tells you have to pay anything. We never see anywhere that you have to pay with regards to the halacha of going to davening. And he quotes, maybe the Ikar Din, that would be the case, but he says that for people who pay for all these other inyanim, you know, you paid for the sports game last night or whatever it was, that we pay all the time for those things, we're not going to pay to, meaning you have to hire to go on a train or a bus, theoretically, you don't have the chiyuv to pay for those things to go to a minyan, but says, or taxi even that for that matter, but says Rav Yashuv, but at the end of the day, if you would spend that type of money, for sure, on other inyanim, like our own gashmias, then for sure, for our ruchnias, to go into minyan, he thinks it would be kedai, for sure, to go that far. And one more ha'ara from these grouping of together, that I remember I was in shir with Rav Shechter Slita, and Rav Shechter was quoting, Rav Shechter is of the opinion with regards to minyan, that minyan, tefillah betzibor, is not a chiyuv. That's a big shaila. The brisker is usually older, and Nevin holds this way also, that it's a very important maila, extremely important. We're not going to let it go for anything, but it's not a full-fledged chiyuv, and there'd be kulas about that, where you have other factors, let's say, so Sosman Kriyachma is coming, and you'll end up in a late minyan, etc., that he holds it's not a chiyuv. But Rav Moshe disagrees. Rav Moshe holds that it is a chiyuv. So in Shir, I remember the person asked, there was Rav Eich Sultan, a very big Talmud Chacham, was in my Shir as well. And so he asked Rav Shechter to hold that it's not a chiyuv, and he immediately pointed to this Gemara. He said, how does the Gemara group it? We have tefillah connected with tefillah yadayim. The tefillah yadayim is clearly a chiyuv, and legaba, the kneading also seems to be a chiyuv. So he asked, isn't it seeming with this grouping that we're going to talk about davening, that it should be that these things are all a chiyuv, and so tefillah b'tzibur is a chiyuv? And that's what he asked Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter thought that was a good hara, but Rav Shechter didn't change his opinion, but he thought it was a good hara. I later saw Rav Moshe actually in the tshuva, actually Mamash quotes this Gemara as one of his rayas. I thought it was very geshmak. So Rav Sultan thought of this raya from this Gemara. So this is one of the rayas that people bring, that it could be that tefillah b'tzibur is not in fact just a maila, a very important maila, but rather a full-fledged chiyuv, which we would not be makel for many, like let's say, if you want to go on a vacation for a few days, you really need a break, can you go somewhere without a minyan? So Moshe, absolutely not. But according to people who say, let's say, that minyan is not a full-fledged chiyuv, maybe there would be more room to be makel, etc. Different halacha shailas that come up. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Ebu Abra. That this wasn't in fact Rabbi Abahu, rather the name sounded similar, so maybe that's why I got confused. Rather, not Rabbi Abahu, rather Ebu said this halacha. Okay, just this is a statement that we just mentioned before. And he continues and he says, V'arba Amar Bar. Now, not only that, actually, he didn't say that it wasn't three halachas, you missed the halacha. There's actually four halachas that have to do with this mill. V'chadim Nayu Ibud. And the other one of the fourth halacha, which you guys didn't mention, was the halacha of tanning leather. And just now, what do we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah tells us, "V'kulan she'ibdan," and all of them that were worked into leather, "Oshilich b'em kedei avoda tahorin." If they were, you stepped on them and you made them into leather, then they're going to be tahor. Chutz mor adam, extra human skin, which is tamei. So again, we're talking about other things which were tamei, but you turn them into leather. That's already reshaping it, so it's going to remove its tumah status. However, of a human skin, that is going to be tamei. I think maybe only be derbanan at that point for the human. I don't remember that though. So the Gemara says v'kama kidei avoda, and how far is considered? How far do you have to is considered working the leather for this purpose? Amar Rebbe Aibo, so this is Rabbi Aibo, so this is Rabbi Aibo as opposed to Rabbi Abahu, is Amar Rabbiana kidei hiluch arba milim. How far do you have to be careful? With regards to the leather working here, to assume it's going to be, how far does it have to be changed? It's going to be the time it takes to work to walk 4 milin. That if they stepped on that long, then you tan them that long, then it would no longer have the same status of the tumah. So now the Gemara qualifies Reb Shimon Lakish. The Gemara says Amar Biosi Reb Chanina Lo Shanu Elofan, of that Reb Shimon Lakish taught this halacha only with a distance of 4 mil, only with regards to ahead of him in the direction that he's going in. Of Al Achrav, however, going behind him in the reverse direction, Afilu Mil and Achoser. So you don't have to go out of your way even a mil. So that is what I mentioned before. So when it comes to halacha of minyan, so if that's the example we give of going to Florida, then it's on your way anyway. The example of the hotel where you're stopping, right, then you don't have to go 72 minutes out of your way. However, just stop going. So then, in general, then that's the chiyuv that we assume, that it's 18 minutes. The person would have to, a chiyuv as well, to go 18 minutes. There's a shaila if it applies, if your mamash in your house, or just, if you actually have to be traveling somewhere to get out of, in a car, does this 18 minutes apply? Does it also apply if you're in your house, and you just happen to be 25 minutes from minyan, you always putter every day? That's a shaila nachronim, believe it or not. That would be a shaila as well. Lamaisa, we do assume though, that the 18 minutes is applicable to a halacha for minyan as well. As we mentioned, B'shem Rav Yosha, that this is man, not necessarily a shear of distance. So that's what we say. So that we again, so Valachar Vila Mina Chozer, Amar Vacho Mina Mil Udin Chozer, Pachos Vil Chozer. Only a mil, you don't need to go back, but less than a mil, you would have to go back. Again, that's Halacha Maisa, that's what we mentioned. And Rav Yosha just pointed out that this would actually be an exception, would be the case of Legabel, because we don't see anywhere that you're going anywhere. So Legabel, he thinks, actually would be the full-fledged shear of 4 mil, no matter what, even if Dalad Milan would be the applicable, not 1 mil, it would only be for the other. Four halachas. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. Ketan mefreshin challah betumah b'yomtiv. How do you separate challah? We know challah is, the Torah tells you have to take off challah, every portion to give it to Kohen. It has a status like truma, it's going to be, you have to be, have it in a state of tahara. So if someone's dough already became tameh, what do you do with it? So you have a chiyuv to take it off and give it to the Kohen. The Kohen burns it and he's allowed to have hana from the burning. We saw this in Masechta Shabbos. We're over there. Talked about this. So Rabbi Elezer, Omer Rabbi Elezer says, lo tikra la ashem achatefa. So over here, the person, it's assumed that, well, woman was baking. That's the mice nowadays also. Women usually are the ones who are baking the dough. She shouldn't designate the portion, it's challah, until it is already baked. Because over here, you have a problem. We're talking about doing it on yantiv. Now, on yantiv, normally when you take off challah, so what you do is that you give it to a kohen. If the dough is tamei, you have a problem here, because challah, which is tamei, can't be eaten by a kohen. So you're not allowed to bake it. We know that this is a shayla, we're going to get into this. This is even deraisa, of baking for no purpose of eating whatsoever. So that's usher, because you need to have ochel nefesh. You're not baking b'chal for ochel nefesh. No one's allowed to eat it. So what are you supposed to do? That's the shayla in the Mishnah over here. Are you allowed to get rid of it? No, because Rashi says you're going to be destroying this, similar to destroying kachim, so you can't get rid of it. And to set this challah aside and burn it later after Yom Tov, then it's going to be more than 18 minutes and it's going to become chametz. So what are you going to do over here? So here, Rabbi Elazar says that you should make, after it's baked, you can make it, designate it, because again, on Yom Tov, it's going to be usur
to not allow you to bake it. So what you do is you take many loaves, you bake all of them, and you take off challah because and a portion, you put them all together, and a portion of each challah will be taken off when you had all the loaves together. So this is also shaila. Rashi would seemingly ask the implicit question over here is that if these loaves are going to eventually become challah, then I'm not allowed to eat them though. That portion which I'm taking off was something which was unedible. How is I allowed to bake it? So Rashi says because it was only a small portion of each loaf. The way we're going to look at it is a small portion of each loaf. So therefore, really, be'etzem, it's something which is allowed because I'm looking globally at the bigger loaf, and therefore I'm allowed to bake it. Ben Besira, Omer Ben Besira says, Titel Betzona, you should put the challah into cold water. Omer Ben Yeshua, turning on to the next time. Now, Lo Zeh Shu Chametz Shemuzar Lavai Rabbi Matzer. Ben Yeshua says that this is B'chal, that by the way, putting it into cold water is not going to make it Chametz. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says, what do you mean? We know, we learned that Lachem Velola Arisosechem Velola Gavod, that for Chametz, so we learn out that we had a drasha which told us that only the Chametz of someone else's and the Chametz of Gavod, Shachem Velola Shal Gavod, that it's going to be a problem. So if it's challah, which is not going to be yours, but rather the kohanim, it doesn't really belong to an original a single owner. So therefore, you're not going to be chayav by Rabbi Matzah this. Elam Arfisha Menechad Arab. So therefore, you can separate it and you can leave it till the end of Yom Tov. And mitzvah mitzvah becomes chametz. It's not your chametz. It's no problem, and it's not their chametz because you didn't give it to anybody specific, and therefore it's not a problem. Okay. So says the Gemara now. So just before we start the Gemara said that Rabbi Yeshua understands at the end of the Mishnah that someone's not going to be chayav for challah, which becomes chametz. Rabbi Lezer says that he disagrees and says you are going to be chayav. So the Gemara is wondering what is the yesod of machlokas? What are they arguing about? So the Gemara suggests lema metovas hana kemiflagim. Maybe they're arguing over the fact that the Yisrael has the right to choose who to give his truma to. Is that really considered mammon? So what's going on over here? That we know that we have a chiyuv to give challah, and that's one of the things that you give to a kohen. However, I have the right to choose which kohen I want to give it to. I have a friend, Reuven, I like him a lot, so I can give it to him. Or I can give it to Shimon, or I give it to Shimon the kohen. I have the right to choose which kohen I want to give it to. So Rashi points out that not only have the right to choose it to, if one of his relatives, you know, say, oh, I'll give you $5 if you give my friend Shimon the kohen, if you give him the thing, so I can take that money. That would be totally fine for me to accept it. So this is what's called tovasana, the right that if you give me money for the right to choose who I'm going to give it to. So the Gemara is suggesting maybe that this is the machlokas, that the fact that I have the right to choose which coin to, is that really considered, maybe the challah is a shtickle mine. It's enough to be mine to be over on it, on Balyarai by Matzah, that's still considered my chametz. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Lezer suffer tovasana mamon. Rabbi Lezer holds the fact that I have the ability to choose is considered like mamon itself, like money itself, since the original owner has the right to choose the challah. He therefore is usher to keep it because it's enough in his possession to be over Bali Rabbi Matzah. The Gemara says, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to say, Savar Tuvasana Enamam, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to hold the fact that you have the right to choose at the end of the day, that means nothing. You have no right to keep it. You have no right to keep it for yourself. So since I have no right to keep it for yourself, it's not mine, and therefore I'm not going to be over on Chametz. So the Gemara says, no, you don't have to assume that this is Machlokas. You can say it's different. Lo, Dekuli Alma Sivre Tuvasana Enamam, that both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lez are going to agree that really the fact that I have the right to choose who to give it to doesn't matter halachically. That's not the issue over here. We're going to be arguing over the concept of hoel. We have this principle. It literally means since. That since I could have a change of effect in the situation I'm in, that maybe the halacha is going to, that we're going to change the halachic status. What do I mean by that? The Gemara is going to flesh it out. The Rebbe Lezer savar arminan hoel v'yibay ishtol ala, that we could say, since the person wants to make a she'ela, he can take back the fact that he made this chala, that designating chala is considered a shtickle neder. It's considered a little bit like a neder, that you're making a neder, this is chala. So if I realize for whatever reason I don't want this to be chala, I made a mistake, I could do a shela. It's just like I'm allowed to do a shela on a taras adarim. I could do, it actually comes up. If your isa, if you make a bracha on the challah and your isa gets mixed up with other challahs, you don't know where it is anymore, so you could do a shela. And just in general, if you're very, where you put the challah and it gets mixed up with the other challah after you've already taken it off, that's a whole big shela. But one of the things you could do is a potential, like in the whole right now, you could do like a taras adarim and remove it and then take it off again with a new bracha. It's a whole shela, how to get it, how that whole sugya. But lamaisa, that's how we hold the challah, you could so you take it off. So Rabbi Lezer holding it, since at the end of the day, I could really take off challah at some point. I could do a taras adarim, and it would be mine. So that's halachically enough. The status is enough to say mamonehu. That at the end of the day, it's considered my property even right now. And Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua savar lower min and hoel. At the end of the day, we don't say hoel. He disagrees. He says we don't. The fact that right now it's not mine, that's enough according to Rabbi Yeshua. That's what comes out. Lefi Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar, the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says another concept of it, of Hoel. So the Gemara says Itmar. We have another concept of Hoel, very common one that we're probably familiar with. Ofim Yom Tov L'chol. Someone who
cooks from makes or bakes during Yom Tov for use on a weekday. Rashi points out, we're talking about a case over here, after you finish the Yom Tov meals, you bake some food which is going to be used after Yom Tov. You're full, you're not eating it, now you're going to eat it the next day. Rav Chista Marloke, Rav Chista said, we know that the punishment for violating Yom Tov is going to be Malkus. That's the difference why Yom Tov is fundamentally different than Shabbos. Shabbos is Chayv Misa. Yom Tov, you're Chayv Malkus. So Rav Chista says, if you've done a malacha, not for the tzorech of today, so you're going to be Chayav Malkus, you full-fledged Isser Deraisa, and Rabbi Meir Inam Loke, Rabbi says, you know, it's not an Isser Deraisa. So the Gemara explains, fleshes out what their shitas are. Rav Chista, Mar Loke, Rav Chista says, you're going to be Chayav Malkus, lo aminan hoel miklele orchim chazile. We don't say the concept that if maybe guests are going to come to visit and they're going to eat your food, so therefore you really baked for them, and that's what's going on over here. Rabba Amar in a loka. Rabba says that you're not going to be loka because Amrin and Hoel, at the end of the day, we're going to use this principle of sins. The principle of Hoel is telling us that since guests might arrive and eat this food in Yantiv, so therefore the act that I'm doing right now, Rabbi Yashar points out, is mamish, like the act that was Kilu with Lamafreyad. Retroactively is being shown that this is my whole Kavana. And Tosas just pointed, a very famous Tosas in Beitza, they ask a question, they say, at the end of the day, we have another concept where we follow Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is a principle of mitoch, that mitoch shehutra latorach, hutra nami shelo latorach, that since the malacha was permitted for a food-related purpose, it's going to be permitted even for now. Like an example is washing your hands and feet with hot water. Let's not get the whole showering, the whole body, but just washing your hands and feet with hot water. So that's mitoch, that I'm allowed to cook water for cooking, so I'm allowed to cook it even for the principle of not cooking. So over here, so at the end of the day, so why then Rav Chista over here, and even a rabbi, had not been the principle of Hoel, hold that Midoresa, one is going to be Chayav for cooking on Yantiv for weekday? Isn't then the principle of Beis Hillel that it's Hoel, so why would there even be a Shaila? So Tosas answer that Beis Hillel is permitting it is only going to be where there's a Tzorech of Yom Tov Ksas. That's a very important Tosas, because we hold like this, Halach Lameisa. There needs to be some Tzorech on Yantiv, a little bit, for you to do Malacha of Hoel. And that's the Shaila in the Achronim. Some take it very far. There's a Shaila like carrying. You're not allowed to carry without an Erev. So I'm allowed to carry with an Erev to blow shofar for a woman. Is that even considered a tzorech of Yom Tov? That's a shayla. You think that how could a chorna some whole chornam hold? Yeah, there might be an issue with that. To carry the shofar in a place without an Erev for a woman, it might not be enough of a mitoch to say that's a tzorech Yom Tov. That's a fascinating shayla. How far do we take this tosos? But that's a very important tosos halacha lemaisa. So either way, so this is the concept of hoel versus the concept of mitoch. That's a very important chiluk of tosos. Now either way, the Gemara says that Rabbi is going to ask a kashan Rav Chista. Rabbi says, I'm a Rabbi Rav Chista. Rabbi asks Rav Chista. According to you, who says that we don't say the principle of sins that you're going to be okay over here? Hayach ofen miyantav l'Shabbos. So at the end of the day, how could you ever bake on yantav for Shabbos? So we know that if yantav falls on a Friday, the halacha is a person is allowed to prepare and cook things from Friday to Shabbos. Now, if I say the concept of hoel, then understand it, because at the end of the day, one is midaraisa allowed to perform malacha from Friday to Shabbos, even though there's a din derabanan against doing malacha from one to the other. The rabbanan are permitted, obviously, in the situation of yantav to Shabbos. If you do it after Shilin, that's okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Mishum Erev Tavshilin. So Rav Chista responds, I also, there's a concept of Erev Tavshilin. The Rabbanan allowed you to do Erev Tavshilin to make it mutter. So I hold to the principle of Erev Tavshilin that when you have you have the two cooked foods which are set aside for Shabbos, that's going to permit you to prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov, because consider everything is prepared beforehand, and that's what's going on with Erev Tavshilin. Gemara says, wait a second, that's not a good answer though, according to Rav Chista. Mishum Erev Tavshilin Sharina Isra Dereisa. According to you, it's Isra Dereisa. This mechanism of Erev Tavshilin we know is only a Din Derabanan. So how could it be that would be mutter, the Erev Tavshilin of a Din Derabanan, which is a rabbinic way of doing something, would be matter in Isra Dereisa? So Rav Chista explains, no, Amar Lei, Midoraisa Tzricha Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov. No, I really hold, at the end of the day, Rashi quotes, the pasuk says, Ach Asher Yochal Lechol Nefesh. That pasuk is saying the Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered Chada Kedushi. They're both called Shabbos, Ikrashi says. They're both called Shabbos, and since they're both called Shabbos, Midoraisa, it's mutter to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. However, Rabbanan of the Gazer Big Zera, Rabbanan made a Gzera against cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos without the Seker. Shema Yomru Ofen Yom Tov L'chol, because the people obviously get confused and think, oh, I could even cook from a Yom Tov to weekday. The Kivan to Itzrichu Rabbanan Erev Tavshilin, since Rabbanan needed a Erev Tavshilin, is Lehakira. He has to have a Heker, a reminder, to remind him that cooking from Yom Tov is only mutter in order to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So therefore, according to both Rabbi and Rav Chista, for very different reasons, Midoraisa, it's going to be mutter to cook from on Friday to Shabbos. So therefore, the Erev Tavshilin is only in Heter Darabanan. So the Gemara says, Omer Kasha Esive, we have a question from the Brace. So the Brace says, Behema Musukenes lo yishchot, that you shouldn't shech the dangerous animal on Yom Tov, because we're talking about over here, Rashi says, where you ready Eating, you're not going to be able to eat it. But the Gemara is going to mention you're not going to be able to eat it on Yantiv. You have to be able to eat a kazayas. Roasting is the quickest way to get it ready, Rashi says. So therefore, the quickest way to get it ready is by cooking it, and you need it by roasting it rather, and you have to be able to eat a kazayas while it's still daytime. Some Achronim point out that you can only do malacha of cooking if you're going to cook a minimum of kazayas based on this line of kazayas. I think the Eglay Tal points that out. The Gemara says either way, it's a shayla Achronim. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says yachol leechol af al gav de lo bayin lemechol. So the Gemara says yachol leechol. So the brace implies that as long as I'm able to eat the meat of yantiv, I'm allowed to yachol leechol. That I'm going to be allowed to be shechting on Shabbos on yantiv rather alfa gav de lo bayin lemechol. Even though he doesn't want to eat it right now, only a kazayas. The Gemara says bishlam di damrin hoel. According to me, I understand that since we can argue that if I had been able to make a kazayas, even if I don't plan on eating the kazayas, it's okay. Then I understand it. So mishum halchi yishchot. For me, according makes sense because therefore you're allowed to shechting. But according to you, that we don't see the printing of hoel, why should he be able to shecht it? So Rav Chista responds, Amarle mishum hefsed memono. So the Gemara says, because you have a major financial loss, it's going to be mutter. He says, what do you mean? Rabbi wonders, mishum hefsed memono, shun isur deresa. According to you, it's an isur deresa. We're not going to be a hefsed mamon to allow an isur deresa. So he says, no, Amarle, in that really, the fact that it's an isur deresa is then the guy's going to have the following kavana. Mishum hefsed memono, gamar belibo lechol kazayas. Then he knows that if he doesn't eat a kazayas, then he's going to lose the whole animal, so he's going to have in mind that he actually is going to eat a kazayas, even if he's a little full, he'll make sure to eat a kazayas. Therefore, he's planning on eating kazayas, and therefore he'll have to shecht it because he plans on eating it for yantiv. It's important to note that there's a very big nafkanim between Rabbah and Rav Chista, that according to Rabbah, someone is not allowed to cook food late on yantiv afternoon, immediately right before Shabbos, since the food is not going to be ready on Shabbos, on yantiv rather. Therefore, it's the heter of hoel is not going to apply. According to Rav Chista, that the holds that it's midaraisa mutter to prepare from Shabbos to yantiv, only the hecker of Erev Tashlin, it's going to be mutter. So how do we paskin? There's a very big nafkamin there. Magen Avraham paskins like Rabbah, that the food needs to be fully cooked on yontiv itself. I don't know if the Olam is realizing that when you have Erev Tashlin, you have to put up a challenge on Friday morning. When you're making a challenge for Shabbos, you have to make sure that it is fully cooked before Shabbos. Or Makamah like that Magen Avraham, Shabura quotes it. Lemaisa. Okay. Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Esi Ve'Akasha that Rav Chista has, the Rabbah rather has on Rav Chista. Be'ez Hashem will pick up there tomorrow.